This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
You saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel. Because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Man Therapy Podcast. My name is Dan, and sitting across from me digitally, but in the same town, Mr. Kyle. Kyle, what's good, brother?
Lots of things are good. It was a nasty heat wave here for like the past 3 or 4 weeks, and now this week has finally like cooled out some, and so it's just way easier to get some stuff done outside and not miserable. So I'm feeling good.
Yeah. First week of school. Any final thoughts as we close up the first week of school of the year?
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Get them back to school, man. Like, my kids are awesome, but holy crap, by the end of the summer, they are just crawling out of their own skin, and nothing that they thought was fun at the beginning of the summer is fun by the end of the summer, and all they do is fight with each other. So see ya, go have a ton of structure. That's what they need.
Yeah. My taxes are going to basically have someone else deal with that stress.
Yeah, man,
we had, before we started recording, I kind of, talked about our first week of school. It was pretty good. I mean, minus a bus fight on the bus, you know, like, it's crazy when your life is so chaotic that when there's a fight between two kids on a bus, that's an okay week for you. Like, it's crazy. Like, my son and another kid in our neighborhood got into a fight on the bus, and I don't know what's going to happen. I haven't gotten any letters in the mail or anything like that about if there's going to be punishment or who's getting kicked off the bus or if it was even noticed. Still waiting on that. But outside of that, I mean, we're back into full sports mode. You know, we had practices all week. My daughter had practices. She's kind of suffering from she gets allergies real bad. Took her to the doctor. Yeah. Ear infection, got that taken care of, got the medicine for that. And we're winding down today is Friday as we're recording this, and we're winding down into the weekend. College football kicking off, and that is my favorite sport to watch. And outside of that, man, it's back to the fall schedule.
Yep, that's right. I'm ready for it. There's too much no structure over the summer. And we tried to do a ton of fun stuff and keep it loose and stuff. But I kept having health issues that messed up my, like in May, I cut off the end of my finger in my son's dirt bike chain and sprocket. And so then that limited what I could do for like a good solid month. And then, a little more than a month ago, I got Bell's palsy, which just like totally paralyzed the left side of my face. And, and then also like made it, it takes a lot out of me to do anything. And I'm, so that ate up like, a good solid month of my summer. So yeah, I'm ready for all the health stuff to be done and just get back in the flow and hopefully no more of that crazy health stuff. And I can just like enjoy life with my family now.
Yeah. That's the same thing I'm going through. Yesterday I had a cortisone injection into my left shoulder. Yeah. And so I had to deal with that. Next week I go in for the cortisone shot into my knee.
Yeah.
And so like, dude, I'm falling apart here at my age and I'm just like, what the hell is going on?
Man.
So
I'm cortisone.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
One benefit from my health stuff is, my son who is 7 years old, he stepped up to start mowing the lawn.
Yes.
Cause that's awesome. That's pretty Love freaking it. Cool. Cause like, that's not easy for him. The bar for the handlebar for the mower basically comes up to his chin, and he's just like out there mowing and he does a good job and doesn't give up and he's strong and he's open to me teaching him how to do it and stuff. And that's really nice because I've wanted to do it. And I just, for my health stuff, wasn't able to. And my wife's a trooper and she even likes to mow the lawn. So she would step up and do it too. But it's just really neat that he stepped up and wanted to do that. And, I paid him some money, so that's good. But yeah, that was just really nice. Cause it's kind of neat when you can see your son and your kid, not just your son, but your kids like stepping up to do stuff. Like that's like a milestone to me. He mowed the lawn. Like that's pretty cool.
Right. That's a fact. Yep. Yeah. My oldest boy, he started mowing the yard this year, but I'll be honest with you. I enjoy mowing the yard.
I've always enjoyed mowing the lawn.
I don't know why. I just enjoy it. It is a time to get outside, be physical, move around. Mm-hmm. It's like the satisfaction of making your house, your property look a little better too. Agreed. I don't know what it is, but if I was like, had to choose between mowing the yard in 90 degree weather versus like doing the dishes or laundry, I would rather mow the yard.
I think I would too. It's so satisfying to see. It's one of the only... It's an example of a thing that you are doing something. You can see your work improving, the thing improving as you go.
Yeah.
So like I'm a counselor, so I don't get to see like the 1-to-1 ratio of we talked about this thing and things automatically got better for my client. But this mowing the lawn is like I did one stripe and now that one stripe is done. I can see the progress as it happens. It's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. So there's that. Part of school's back in session. We're getting into the fall seasons here. Yeah. I want to before we get into the topic today, I want to talk about humor.
Okay.
And you hate it. You hate laughing and having fun.
Yeah.
Ew, gross.
We'll try to get through this part of it.
I've always found it interesting of what is actually funny to certain people. And there is a comedian, his name is Anthony Jeselnik. Have you ever heard of Anthony?
Yep.
Very, very like dry and very like
dark.
Talks about dark, disgusting humor, that kind of stuff. And I find that stuff funny, right? I laugh at that stuff. I laugh at guys like Bert Kreischer. I laugh at guys like, he's more of like this crazy off the wall guy. I laugh at, I used to like Chris Farley movies, Step Brothers, that kind of stuff. Laugh my ass off. And so I am a huge fan of comedies. I am a huge fan of like timing and stuff like that. And so my question to you, and this might have to do with some of the Bell's palsy that you had is, and what I'm meaning is like, when is it too early to make fun of something? Do you know what I mean? Like, I know there's a lot of comedians out there that they've written jokes or tell jokes about like 9/11, right, or things like that. So it's like, when is a time frame where a dude can start, or where somebody can start making fun of things? Like, I don't know why this topic popped up.
Absolutely. To me, you know, I'm obviously not the definitive answer to this question. And also, if I stumble over my words, it's because the left side of my mouth is still not awake yet from the Bell's palsy. It's still partially paralyzed. So
yeah,
sometimes my words just don't come out. So sorry about that. To me, it's like group by group, and you're like, you have to know your audience. So yeah, like, you know, 9/11 happened. There might've been some friend groups that were like joking about it in real time.
Yeah.
You know, because they're that raw and they removed
from New York City type of deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. More than likely. I wouldn't do that. I bet there's some raw New Yorkers that were, who knows, man. But anyway, point being, that's probably a really crappy example to use 9/11. Yeah. But I think like with your closest people if you know someone else really well, then I think the sooner you're able to joke about a thing, you know. And you might even have like just like your one person that you know would get a kick out of that one dark thought you have. So you're not sending a text to the group chat. You're just sending it to this one person that you know will get a little chuckle out of it. And you're like,
right,
I wouldn't even want anybody else to see this text, you know? Or you might have your group text of buddies that you're like, oh yeah, this is just the perfect place for this joke. And so you do. But you might have another group of friends that you would never want to see that text.
Right.
You know, because you know that that's not their thing. They couldn't handle it. And then I think like as you go out and out and out into bigger and broader groups, I think you probably need to have a lot more time between things, like to joke with the country about 9/11. I don't think people were doing that too quickly.
Right. Right.
It's about comfort level and knowing the comfort level of your audience.
Right. Right. So I'm guessing that Anthony Jeselnik, the people who are showing up to his audience are prepared for all of that stuff. And that's the kind of stuff that they find humorous. That's exactly right.
Yeah. Yep. So I think he's even talked about like promoters that have booked him, and he's like, okay, cool. And then he gets there and he realizes like what type of audience it is. And he's like, you guys made a big mistake.
Yeah.
You should have never booked me for this, because I'm actually not going to change my routine.
Yeah.
I'm not going to change my set. So like, I'm about to rock this nursing home.
Yeah. Like, you know, this guy, he's like, I'm not doing knock, knock jokes, guys. Like, I'm doing my real bit here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. And so it's just one of those things where I don't know why I've been thinking about that lately. Where, you know, the dad jokes, you know, but then you send like a disgusting, hilariously meme to your friends. And I don't know. I've been thinking about what makes people laugh. And I think I'm thinking about that because I'm trying to find ways to turn moods. Like, and I think in my house, like when my wife is in a bad mood, I'm trying to do something to cheer her up and get her to chuckle or something like that. Mm. We have this thing in our house. We have a dog, okay? And he is an annoying dog. Like any gust of wind, he's barking out loud. It shocks our house. My wife, she's not calm about it. She'll yell, this damn dog, blah, blah, blah. And so what I do to counteract the negative energy is I come up with a story about the dog. And I'm like, I'll walk in, I'll go, hey, and I'll try to be as serious as possible. I'll be like, hey. Did you know that, what are you doing later today? She's like, I don't know. What do you mean? What are you trying to get at? I'm like, what are you doing around 2:00? Right.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know. I think I have a meeting. I'm pretty busy. You know, she's in that negative mood. And I go, crew got a job interview at Woody's, which is a strip joint down the road from us. And I go, his interview's at 2:00. I'm busy. Are you able to take him? And you know, like that's like,
right. that's solid, dude.
She gets a little chuckle out of that. And we go to the ends of the earth talking about our dog in like real weird situations.
Yeah.
And so that's what I use in the house as like to try to shift the momentum of the house back to a positive.
Yes. Oh, dude, I love that. That's so cool. And also, like humor's been a central part of my life. I love being around people mm-hmm. that have a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so fun. It's so, one of the best things about humor and why it works is because it's unexpected. And when someone mm-hmm. else quickly thinks of a thought that you didn't think of, and then it surprises you and catches you off guard. And that's a bit of why humor works. You know, obviously that you took your real serious tone and then told your wife about your dog's job interview at the strip club. You know, like it's funny because it's unexpected and it's unexpected in multiple ways. It's unexpected because you were real serious and then it had to be with the dog. And then there's another layer that the dog would have a job interview. Then it's another layer that the job interview would be at the strip club. You know, like there's just a lot of layers piled on there that's like unexpected to the recipient's brain. Yeah. I just think that shit is so funny. I love being around funny people. And also I love a good running joke, like that you guys have that running joke that you can bring up anytime and you could bust that out anytime. I think that shit is so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's like an icebreaker between friends that haven't seen each other for a long time. It's like, hey, do you remember when that one kid in sixth grade fourth grade dropped a dictionary on the other kid's head and, you know, like all these things and everybody's like, aha, that was funny or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Not for the kid who got a dictionary dropped on his head, but still.
Right.
But yeah, dude, I love humor. Can I be honest with you for like just full disclosure here for a second?
Go for it.
One of my favorite types of comedians are black comedians who do impressions of white people.
Oh, dude.
I laugh so hard. Like Cat Williams.
I love it.
I absolutely fall over laughing at that guy's comedy.
Yeah,
especially when, hilarious. You know, when they do, well, so, like my favorite bit he did, one of them anyway, is like when, like a black dude accidentally dials a wrong telephone number and gets a white dude. Have you seen that one?
Oh, it's so funny.
Or he's like, well, let's try to figure this out. Let me help you. What do you need from me? Like,
you dialed 214 and I'm 216. That's okay. So go ahead and call the other number. If you can't figure it out, call me back. We'll figure this thing out.
We'll figure it out.
He's like, white people are so nice. Oh my God. Yeah. But the white voice is hilarious too. When any black comedian does white voice, it's so funny.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know why I laugh. And then there's this other comedian who makes is a black dude, but he makes fun of his, he's like, he's got a brother that must be special needs and he does an impersonation of him. Oh my God. I'll sit there and cry. That's how hard I laugh at this, at this dude. But anyway,
send me some links after this. I'll send you some links.
That's right. Humor. I love humor. I love laughing. I love going up and watching clips, whether on YouTube or pulling up an old movie if I'm ever down, and then just like,
right? Like, oh, I love it. One running joke that I have with one of my friends is like, whenever a celebrity dies, and it's kind of a race between us to do this. When a celebrity dies that we think the other will know, then it's like a race to see who can text the other one first. So like, I'll text him and I'll say, I killed Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah.
Like, just wanted you to know before it hits the news, you know, and then he'll see like, oh, Ozzy Osbourne died at age 76. So that's the joke is like to text as soon as you possibly can.
As soon as it happens. Okay.
Yeah. Saying that you killed that celebrity so that then they see it on the news and they just have to laugh.
So what happens if that celebrity has been murdered?
Yeah. Right. Well, it's probably even funnier to us, which is, you know, dark because it's not funny, but you know,
right. Long story short, laugh. You know, that live, laugh, love. And we just emphasize the laugh part of that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And you're so right that humor is a really powerful tool to use to turn the mood.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's really wise of you. And I know that about you too. I think, when, when, we first met, I found you to be funny. That's a thing that draws me to people if they have a good sense of humor. And then you can tell if somebody can take a joke. You can also tell like how dark you can get with somebody and how far you can take it. And, you know, it's like kind of fun and exciting to like find out where that line is without crossing it too far.
Yeah. So I told you at I don't know if it was you or maybe a different podcast I did. We have some mutual friends, and at one of their parties, I ripped a joke that did not go over well at all. And, you might have even been outside and I was inside with a certain different group. And I just, you know, like when the punchline, the setup is just there. It just lands right in your lap and you grab that golf club and you tee that son of a gun off. I swear to God, if you were there, you would have laughed your ass off. But the other people who were there did not laugh at all. And my wife was like, oh my God, I can't believe you said that. She got pissed at me.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
Yep. Eh, whatever. Yep. I don't need more friends.
That's right. Oh man. I've been there lots of times.
Yeah.
Well, you got to take risks too.
Yeah. Yep.
You got to take risks.
You got to take risks.
I kind of wonder if that's like, I've been diagnosed with ADHD late in life, and like a big part of ADHD is impulsivity. And I've always been extremely impulsive. And I think that I don't think that everybody, like all comedians, have ADHD or anything like that, but I think a lot of them do. I think a lot of comedy takes impulsivity because you have to just be really free flowing with your thoughts and be willing to just say the shit right off the cuff. And like you said, like the moment gets teed up just right for you, and you have to have like you have a thought that springs into mind that you can just say. I think that takes a lot of impulsivity. And I think it's, I was going to say it takes courage to say the things. That's not necessarily true. Sometimes people just say them without being courageous about it. But I do think it's a little courageous to just allow yourself to be just that open and that pure and that free flowing. I wonder, like, people that I wouldn't consider funny, and not that they're not funny, just that I don't know if they are or not. Like, I wonder, does the average person like think of jokes and think of funny stuff to say and they just don't say it?
Yeah. Like it pops in your head. I'm sure that people are disciplined enough that if something happens like that, where that you could crack a joke, it would rule. But they're in a place where they're way more maybe mature than we are, or they are in a state where they have enough self-control to be like, this is not the time and place.
Right.
You know, I'm currently at a funeral. I should not crack a joke like that. You know.
Yeah, I need a little more of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Need a little more of that self-control stuff.
Yeah. Overrated, right? Yeah. Overrated.
Yeah.
I had a buddy's dad in high school, and I think it ended up getting him in trouble a couple times, but he said, we were talking about mottos one day, like the motto of your life or something like that. And he's like, I live by this motto. If it feels good, do it. Maybe. But like, I don't know if that's what you should do. Like, I don't know if that's what you should do all the time. So
yeah.
Anyway.
Oftentimes, probably not.
Probably not. Okay. All right. Should we hard pivot?
Sure.
All right. Hard pivot. We were talking about the last couple of weeks. We have been talking about how the definition of a man has changed. And I don't mean like all that other stuff. I'm talking about a man, a real man, and how that definition has changed throughout the course of, since the 50s or even before that and things like that. And so you brought up this topic, good guys, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What are good guys? So I want you to explain to us a little bit about the setup here for this conversation and what you're trying to get through here.
Yeah, absolutely. Like where are all the good guys at? I hear so much in the media and so much online about toxic masculinity and about how men suck and men are so shitty and all this man bashing stuff. And there's also a chance that I hear a lot of it due to the, kind of the career path, the career that I'm in, and, you know, I'm in like the social sciences, and I run in a lot of very, very liberal circles, and actually I like a lot of that. Mm-hmm. But it's never ever clicked. It's never felt right with me. I could never fully get on board with this, like, oh, men suck, men are all these horrible things, because I know so many good men. I know so many men that I like really look up to, really respect. I mean, even just around our little town, if I took a ride on our golf cart, I bet I would wave at 5 different guys that I'm like, that's a really good dude. That's a good example of a man right there. Cause they're good husbands. They're good fathers. They're not liars. They follow through on what they say they're going to do. They treat other people well. They've always been kind to my kids, like just really good people. And, mm-hmm. and just even in this little town to have that many people. And I think about when we go to our kids' sports stuff, there's all these guys that I see, cause they're all these other kids' parents, you know, a whole bunch of good guys there. Like everywhere I go, I meet and start to interact with, and I guess I'm very personable, so I do talk to a ton of people. Mm-hmm. It actually annoys the shit out of my wife. She's like, can you just sit by me? I'm like, I see you all the time.
Yeah.
There's all these other people to get to know, right? So I'm like always up chatting with the other dads and stuff. And there are a lot of really good dudes out there. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious how the social narrative of men suck, is impacting good guys, or if good guys are like finding a way to tune that out or unhook from it. But I don't know. Do you buy into this idea that men are bad and men are evil and men suck?
Do you want me to be honest with you? And this might even help help define this definition.
Yeah.
This conversation that we're having, a real man doesn't give a fuck about toxic masculinity. Right. I don't know what toxic masculinity is. I think when the people who say, oh, this is just toxic masculinity, I think what that is other people's insecurities looking for some type of reason to justify where they're at in their life. And they're going to look to blame it on a man. Now, listen, if you know a guy who beats his wife and beats his kids, that's a douchebag, asshole, whatever you want to say, right?
Right.
That's probably a definition of toxic masculinity, right? Yeah. That's the word isn't masculinity. The word is toxic, right? Yeah. If this person is a drug user, that's a toxic trait. If he is he an abuser, that's a toxic trait, right?
Yeah.
But all this other stuff about like, because one thing that I have learned, a good man also has to be the bad guy sometimes, right? Like, and what I mean by that is has to be the bad guy to their kids. No, you're not getting that. No, I'm sorry. We're not spending that kind of money. No, we are not going to do these things. I'm not going to do this. No, you're not getting a phone. And so, and even to the wife sometimes, and this is the hardest. This is where I feel like in a marriage, there's a lot of headbutting that goes on because of this, where a man, this is going to sound bad, will say no to something to save his wife from a bad decision that might not be well thought out. Now, does that make me a toxic, I'm toxic? I don't know. To some people, I'm sure it is. Oh, women have the right to choose. Women have the right to do. Yes, they do. And you're right. But this isn't one person's opinion. This decision's made by two people. And there are times where I put my foot down, and there are times where my wife puts her foot down. Right. Yeah. And we have our boundaries. And I think what happens is people look at these boundaries as one line in the sand, and they'll look at that and they'll go, oh, well, they never allow their wives to do this, or they never allow, like, whatever. You take that however you want it. I think toxic masculinity is a complete load of bullshit.
Right. So I respect that perspective. Mm. I like how you're teasing apart toxic from masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
This is not my original thought. I heard somebody explain, like, masculinity, like true masculinity is protective, and mm-hmm. pure masculinity is leadership and courage and responsibility and love and resilience and kindness and respect,
preparation,
and yeah. humor and stoicism and providing, and like that's masculinity. And to me, like that, then to have the idea of toxic masculinity is when there's like a guy who wants to use masculinity as an excuse or a cover for the toxic shit that they want to do.
Yeah.
Then I'm okay with somebody calling it toxic masculinity.
Give me an example.
Yeah. Toxic masculinity, like, if a kid gets hurt in a game and they're like legit hurt, and the dad comes in and is like, "We don't cry. We don't show weakness. We don't mm-hmm. show pain. Da, 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 da." And like this kid's like, you know, fingers bent the wrong way. You know, it's like at a right angle or something. And the mm-hmm. dad's yelling at the kid for like a very natural response. But he's using masculine, like men don't cry. Men don't show weakness. Men mm-hmm. don't da, 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 da. It's like, I think you're kind of like, you know, that's not to me, that's not how you're supposed to be using masculinity. And that's different right. from like, if you can tell your kid's not hurt at all, then yeah, you might respond to them a little differently. But if your kid's obviously hurt and you're just like screaming at them that men don't do this and men don't do that, to me, that's an abuse of like masculinity. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think there's two sides to all these stories. I think when you boil all of this down, it kind of just comes down to assholes, right? Yeah. Like, what kind of person? Now, I'll preface this by saying I know some guys who have asshole tendencies. They're barking at an umpire at a baseball game, like, "What are you doing? That was a hard." But they're a good dad,
right?
Outside of it, right?
Right.
And so I'm sure there's little bits and pieces. There's no perfect human being, right?
Yeah.
There's little bits and pieces of all of these character traits that, and I think what happens is, we as a race of people, as a human race, we try to find the one thing that is wrong with a person and try to exploit it, as opposed to celebrate all of the other parts that make people good.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you this, there are toxic feminists out mm-hmm. there. There mm-hmm. are, you know, on the complete opposite side of masculinity, there are toxic, whatever the case, whatever, fill in the blank.
Yeah,
that's so, there's so, toxic versions.
Absolutely. I just had the thought that, like, you know, toxic means that you're negatively affecting someone else. So it's mm-hmm. to me, it's like when you're using masculinity as your platform to negatively affect someone else, then that could be toxic masculinity. So I don't think masculinity in and of itself is bad or wrong or toxic. I think it's the when an asshole uses masculinity as their cover story for the shit they want to do. Kind of like how the like police get a bad rap. Like there's a lot of really, really, really good police officers out there that do not abuse their power.
Yeah.
And that's perfect. Like if there's like a good police officer that only acts within the scope of their power and never abuses it, excellent. Mm-hmm. You know, that's great. And I'm sure that's the vast majority of them. But then it takes one asshole officer to abuse their power. And now everybody thinks that the police are bad.
Right.
It's like, well, the police aren't bad. There are some bad eggs that are using their platform in a really shitty way. I think that's the same thing that's happened to masculinity.
Right. Yeah. It's so like, these are things in my life that I try not to get caught up in, because if I sat down and I really wanted to break something apart, I would end up getting frustrated because I disagree with mainstream things. All right.
Yeah.
I don't know what you would call me, maybe a little old school of how parenting should be, about maybe the roles of a husband or the roles of a father, and the roles of the community. Like call me maybe a little bit old school. And I think what you have is when you have these new ideas and a group of people who are so vocal about certain things clash with what I'm assuming is the majority of people, then you have guys who, you know, guys who are just like, "God, I am just beaten to death with this shit on a on a daily basis. You hear crazy stuff on the news. Yeah. And it's like, you know, when you hear saying like all men are bad, well, I can tell you right now, that's not true, dude. That's right. Not true at all. And there are times where, man, I've walked into a coffee shop before and I felt uncomfortable because I honestly felt like I got different service because I was a white man. Right. And I'm just like, what is going on here? Like, yeah. I did nothing. I didn't judge anybody. I walked in, got a cup of coffee. Ew, look at that guy. Look at that guy. What has he done today? What crimes has he committed against society? What privilege has he used? And I'm just like, oh my God, shut up. Like, I don't want, like, when I get older, I'm probably going to start saying shit back to people. Like, because I can't help it. Like, there's going to be this filter that I currently have that will be removed somehow just because of age. Yeah. And I don't know, man.
Yeah. You'll go full Clint Eastwood on him. See, like, Clint Eastwood's movies have been getting more and more and more less filtered.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I don't know that far. Right. But like, man, just like, I hate when people put, I just hate when a group of people puts labels on other people that aren't true.
Yeah.
Right. All people are this. All people are that. All people are a certain way. Well, that's not how it is, man. So that shit frustrates me.
No, I agree. I think there's a lot of division that doesn't need to happen. Mm-hmm. I think it's wrong to deny history. I think it's wrong to deny that things that have happened historically would impact people now. I one thing that I don't like that I see is when people are like, oh, well, you know, basically like get over it. Like X, Y, and Z happened to people like you 50 years ago, but that shouldn't affect you now. Well, I actually think there are still ripple effects of those types of things. I just wish that it wasn't like the central focus so much of the time. Because I think it prevents us from figuring out commonalities and ways to get along. Right. I also don't like being lumped in with like shitty people either.
100%.
Like, you know, like I've had to bite my tongue in conversations where it didn't feel, air quotes, safe to speak up. And when I say it didn't feel safe to speak up, what I really mean is like, I knew that people around me wouldn't align with what I said. And I also knew that there was like nothing to gain from speaking up and that I might only alienate myself. So I just chose not to, you know, if people man bashing and things like that, that I would just kind of, depending on situation again, you know, bite my tongue. Yeah. And I think that's bullshit. It sucks for anybody to feel that way.
100%. You know what my favorite thing to do is?
What?
Is when, you know how groups of people are. Oh, did you hear this person did that and he did this and did that? And I don't have that same experience with that, like that person did. Yeah. I will straight up voice my opinion on everything and I will give the exact opposite result. So like if let's say we were in a group of people and somebody brings up Kyle. Oh, did you hear Kyle? He's this, he's that. I'm like, dude, I don't know that version of Kyle. Kyle is a great guy. I love him. He's a, you know, awesome dad. That's like a great person for this community. Like I will go above and beyond to back my version of that. Like, right. I can't handle that shit. When you hear someone talk bad about a person that I know and respect, and then I don't see that same version of them.
Right.
I stand up for people. I don't know. Totally. I don't know why I do. I never used to do that. It wasn't until I was probably in my 40s where I'm okay with being in a comfortable situation. Do you know why? Because usually I'm not the person going to hang out with the person who is there anyway. The only reason I'm in this scenario with you is by a third party. Yeah. And it's not like I called this person and was like, hey, let's go hang out. And then they talk shit. It's just, oh, we're at a kid's baseball game or something like that. And then someone brings something up about somebody. I'm like, I didn't have that experience with him.
Right. Right. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. That's a thing specifically that I admire in people who speak up more often. I do speak up to defend my friends, but there's, there's this idea of the conversation after the conversation, and you'll get it right away. So like, let's say that there's like a really difficult conversation being had, or one that's like around some tense stuff, and like everybody's trying to like figure out how to navigate this and say what they think but not step on toes and da da da. So that's a conversation. And then like, let's say that it's like a staff meeting at work, which you and I don't have to deal with anymore, but yep. You can understand the premise of a staff meeting. Hey, we're going to talk about some sensitive, important shit in staff meeting. All right, this is going to be really tense. Let's do it. So the staff meeting happens. There's a bunch of tense stuff discussed. And then once the staff meeting's over, everybody like goes and breaks into their little groups of people that they're actually comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And then they have the meeting after the meeting.
Right.
You know, like everybody right. go like everybody goes and finds their little office friends that they actually feel comfortable with. And then they all like they close the door. And once the door is closed, they all say what they actually think.
Mm-hmm.
And I call that the meeting after the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And that was starting to make me sick mm-hmm. at a previous job that I had. And not judging other people, I was mad at myself for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had the thought to myself, like, shit, dude, the stuff that you talk about in the meeting after the meeting is the stuff that needs to be talked about in the meeting. And so I made this pact with myself. Basically, I made this decision, like, Kyle, if you think you're going to end up talking about this after the meeting with your group of trusted friends, you need to take a deep breath and say it in the meeting. Mm-hmm. And it was scary. It was scary. I'd be like sweating. And like knowing that like maybe what I was going to say wasn't going to be popular or wasn't going to be well received, but I was like really sick of biting my tongue.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I probably didn't do it perfectly, but I know I did start to express my true thoughts more often. And luckily to my surprise, I got support when I did those things. Cause I always had I don't know where this comes from in me, but I have this like sense of not wanting to get in trouble. Not wanting to upset others. You know, I'm sure that's probably rooted in getting praised for being a good boy when I was a kid. But that's a thing that I'm trying to root out of myself.
Yeah.
Which is the, you know, kind of the people pleasing or the not making waves or don't say what you actually think because you don't want to get in trouble or you don't want to upset someone else or, you know, you don't want to be the dissenting opinion. I'm trying to work against that in my life.
Yeah. Yeah. And that kind of ties back into the definition of a good man, because a good man has to be able to navigate those hard situations like that on a mm-hmm. daily basis. Right.
Yeah.
I think what it comes down to is decision making. Right. What makes a good man? I'm married, so I probably shouldn't go hit on this chick at a bar when my wife's not here. That's probably a good decision. You know, I shouldn't berate my kids if they make an honest mistake, right? You can get mad at them for stuff, but you also have to educate them on the right way to do things as well. That's a definition of a good man. You know, that's a characteristic of a good man. Like I just go back to that comment I made earlier. Good men have to make other people at times upset. To keep the ship going in the right direction. And this is a topic I was actually thinking about this morning, and that is hard truths.
Mm.
Does that make sense? Like, there are people who just cannot accept certain things. And if there's one thing that I've learned in my life is in a state of panic or shock or stress, you fill in the blank with that adjective there. There's times in life where you have to eat a shit sandwich. You just have to. Because if you don't, you'll just sit and it will boil. It'll boil you.
Mm-hmm.
Take an L. Like, I think real men learn how to take loss and either come back stronger from it. Or learn how to shape their lives to where that type of loss doesn't happen again.
Right. Right. Now, you know, as we talk about this, this is a thought that I've had before that I haven't had a chance to parse out yet. But, you know, we say a good man would do this, a good man would do that. And in my mind, you can actually substitute the word man with the word person.
Person.
Like, these don't all have to be male traits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there definitely are traits that males exhibit more than females and traits that females exhibit more than males. And there's research about that. That's not just my opinion. But I do think that a lot of these things, probably most, if not all of these things that we're talking about, you could just interchange the word person for man. A good person would stand up against what's wrong. A good person would be hold themselves accountable. A good person would be kind. A good person would be respectful. A good person would be a good leader. A good person would show resilience. What do you think about that? I'm curious, why do we break it down into good men instead of saying good people?
Well, men and women are, in my opinion, two of the most opposite, especially in the world that I live in, two of the most opposite creatures that have to learn to coexist with each other within a marriage and raising children, right? Yeah. And so from an emotional standpoint, men and women are different. From a physical and physiological, is that the word I'm looking for?
Yeah,
physiologically. Huge different, yeah, psychologically, how they make decisions, right? The oldest logic versus emotion. Right. How decisions are made. Two completely different groups of people. And so, honestly, I want my wife to be there to emotionally support my children, right? While maybe I make a tough decision for the family that's logically needed, pisses people off, I want my wife to be there for that emotional support. Mm-hmm. Where maybe I didn't give it, right? So I think in a good marriage, that works in tandem. Uh-huh. So when you're good at something and then the other person might not be good at it, it balances itself out, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So like if I was, I'm trying to think of certain ideas because you want your wife to be strong-willed, right? You want your wife to be able to make hard decisions at times as well. So, you know, those characteristics are there. But
yeah,
I just feel like there are times where there are things that women are better at than men and men are better at than women. And when those two people get together and complement each other in a marriage, it just works out better. I don't know if that answered your question.
Yeah. I think that's part of it. Yeah, I'm still not sure exactly what to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, but it's just like someone falls down, help them up. A good person would do that, right? A good person would do that. You see someone crying in a corner and like, hey, dude, are you okay? You know, a woman going over there, are you okay? Right? That's good person. I just think there's the difference. There's probably strengths and weaknesses is more of what I'm getting at, as opposed to a good man, a good person. The only reason that I'm emphasizing men is because the title of this podcast is Man Therapy. Right.
But the reason that we titled it Man Therapy is because we do this.
Yeah.
We, and humans do this. We group ourselves. Yep. Like we notice differences and we group ourselves. And we do it in every single aspect of everything. Mm-hmm. We're constantly grouping ourselves.
Yeah.
So that's just one of the most obvious is by gender. Male and female, which is another interesting conversation to have, which is like, why do we have gender and sex? And why not just call everything by sex and then say there's a spectrum of each sex? Like gender's an interesting topic in and of itself.
I don't know. And then you get into certain scenarios where like this stuff just is over my head. And, you know, if you want to boil it down and I say this a lot, I just say this a lot to my wife and I'm like, I like hanging out with so-and-so because they are a good person, period.
Right.
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 What that does is it goes beyond the man and woman thing. Right. Okay. It goes beyond skin color. It goes beyond, political views. It goes beyond that. Are you just a good person? And I think actions speak louder than words. So maybe a good person doesn't have a good definition. on it from an action standpoint. Yeah. A good person just behaves a certain way. They carry themselves a certain way. They, despite their beliefs, they still go out of their way to help others. And they also have to make hard decisions that they know are going to upset friends or family.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think I have, as we talk about this, I respect people who align with my values, mm-hmm. or anyone else's values that I respect. Mm-hmm. If somebody's living out their values and I respect their values, then I respect that person.
Right.
And if they don't, then I don't respect that person. Even if they're largely like me in lots and lots and lots of ways, if they don't behave in ways that I respect, then I don't respect that person.
Yeah. Right. And I'll tell you this, this is where I think our country is in not a good place, is the division based off of small things, mm-hmm. right? Have you ever met someone first and then found out maybe about a political view that they have, and then you questioned in your head whether or not that maybe they were a good person because of their belief?
Right.
I've been guilty of that.
Really?
In the past. Yeah. But then as you mature, I feel like I now can deal with that. Oh, mm-hmm. you're okay with this, and I'm 100% not okay with this. Where is the commonality?
Yeah.
Right? Where can we connect? And then if the conversation ever comes up, and most people just don't have the conversations, the conversation ever comes up, that's where you voice your opinions, right? And that's where I think a lot of times there's always one person who's okay, and then there's another person who's like, I just can't be around you because they have such a hard belief in that, and they hate the person that maybe I am because I've admitted to them what I believe or how I believe, right. or whatever the case is.
Right. No, absolutely. I'm somehow I have the luxury of being able to assess people on a person by person basis, mm-hmm. and not be too worried about the groups that they belong to or the labels that they have. Now, I'm sure there would be exceptions to that. I actually don't personally know anyone in the Ku Klux Klan, but I'll just have to say, just being honest, that'd be a deal breaker for me.
Yeah.
You know, like, sorry, we're not going to be cool. Like, I am comfortable saying, like, if you openly align with that, then we, right. you know, I don't care how many old ladies you help across the street. Like, you and I, like, I don't need to know you.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to be in my circle.
And I think that's the case with most people.
Yeah.
Right. If you have a very hard stance on certain things, I know that I do. On certain things. Yeah. And if you're okay with some of these certain things to go down, I'm probably not going to hang out with you, dude. Like, especially if you're vocal about it. Now, if you're not very vocal about it, or maybe I can assume how you are based off of comments or t-shirts or signs in your front yard, whatever, I'll probably get past a lot of that. But if you are adamantly vocal about certain things, then I will probably move a different direction, just because it comes down to trying to find like-minded individuals to hang out with. And you said the grouping of society, dude, why not hang out with someone who's more like you? That's right. Those are the best friendships.
Right. It's just not how I operate. So it's just seemed strange to me for someone to say, I hate Republicans. I cannot stand them. I cannot be around them. And also, like, I know people are like, I hate Democrats. They're so stupid. They're idiots. I can't be around them. It's like that's way too broad of a generalization for me. Mm-hmm. I would need to get to know the person first.
Yeah.
And that's the way I lean for most things with any, almost any group. It's like, I would rather just get to know that person and see if they're good. It's like, you know, do you like religious people? It's like that to me, that's not a good question. It's like, I would need to, I can't lump all religious people together. I would need to like meet the person to see, like, do I like this religious person? Yes or no. Mm. Do I like this religious person? Yes or no. Yeah. You know, I can't go group by group and say if you like that group or not, with a few obvious exceptions.
Right.
Of like hate groups. Like, no, I'm not going to align with that.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, like that's a can of worms that this conversation doesn't end. It literally keeps going and it keeps going. And I think what you just do is, you know, I'm sure at surface level, there would be a person that you're like, you know what? This guy moved into the town. He's a great guy. Just met him. He's my neighbor. He's all these things. Great, great. And then he invited me to a cross burning tonight. I'm like, whoa, buddy. Breaks. Yeah. You know what I mean? Right. I don't think those types of things happen a lot. You get a good idea because those people are only hanging around those people. And right. I think you give everybody, and I think this is something that we need to do more of, is give people the benefit of the doubt, mm-hmm. get to know someone on an individual level, and yeah. then make a decision on whether or not it's a good idea to continue a friendship, I guess, or, right. or that. So
right. Yep. Yep. I agree with you. I think that's largely what I'm going to teach my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I will teach them if the person that you're interacting with believes in things that are harmful to other people, then you don't need to be okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, and also like, I'm also going to teach my kids, like, only be around people that treat you well. And if somebody mm-hmm. doesn't treat you well, regardless of what they say, if they don't treat you well, then you need to distance yourself from that person. But I think I'm gonna teach my kids. I think I basically have been teaching my kids. Give everybody a shot.
Yep.
Don't judge somebody until you know them. And, yep. and don't be too quick to jump to a snap judgment.
Yep.
Yeah. Actually get to know them first. And then after you get to know them, if you're like, yeah, they're definitely not for me, then so be it. But don't yeah. do that without getting to know them.
Right. And I wonder if this good guys conversation, if we lived in a big city like New York, what that conversation would be like if we were living in the middle of the biggest city, one of the biggest cities in the world, right? Yeah. Or if we were yeah. in a completely different environment like LA. But here yeah. we are, the definition, I'm guessing, of a man is different in the Midwest than it is in New York or heavily populated areas from a culture standpoint too, right? Yeah. Like certain cultures would, like, we would think, oh my God, you do that? No, that's unacceptable. But it, to them, that's completely acceptable. And so that definition of a good man changes all over the world.
Yeah, I think, right? I'm sure that's accurate. Another thought I had is that, you know, media likes to sell divisiveness, as we've mm-hmm. said. And so, like, the media might shine a spotlight on something that's really not as prevalent as you would think mm-hmm. it is, just by how often it's talked about in the media. And so I think like the media isn't also trying hard to, like, spotlight the good people out there. You know, they're just trying to find, like, the bad eggs and the bad apples. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of the good guys that I know, they're just kind of living their lives. They're not mm-hmm. getting in the fray, and they're not, like, worried about what's being talked about online and on the news and stuff. They're just, like, focused on their families, focused on their own communities. And yeah. I think a lot of good guys fly under the radar. It's almost like the naughty kids get a lot of attention, you know, at school or at home. If you're naughty, then you have to, like, you have to be paid attention to, because people have to yeah. deal with you. And then, you know what happens? The other side of that same coin is that the good kids get ignored. You know, you get a pat on the head as the teacher walks by, but the teacher had to spend, like, 15 minutes de-escalating this little kid that's out of control. So, like, the good kids get ignored. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that carries into adulthood. And I don't think that, you know, any mature adult, like, needs a ton of praise for being a good person. That's not what I mean at yeah. all. I just mean that, like, it seems to me like the vast majority of dudes out there are, like, really pretty good dudes, and that there's definitely some shit bags in the mix.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so here's the things that I'm thinking about this morning before we started recording. Did my kids brush their teeth? Did my kids, like, I'm not sitting here worrying about political anything or, right. you know, like, all these crazy things that are going on in the world, or, like, most people are just trying to survive this life, yeah. right? Yeah. Did my kid have socks on? Like, what's the financial situation with the family? Like, these are things that I think about on a weekly basis. And now I'm just like, okay, now what? Now what? Yeah. Is there a moment of my day where I can sit down and relax? And what do I want to think about when I sit down and relax? It's not those other world problems, man.
Yeah.
It's just
right.
Whatever.
I agree. I think a big reason why some of this got highlighted for me is like times that this has crossed my mind is like, you know, one example, we go to like, you've been to our mutual friend's house when they often host pool parties, mm-hmm. you know, at those pool parties, I don't see the men sitting around demanding the women serve them. I actually see the men like jumping in the pool and playing with the kids and grabbing a snack for their kids and taking their kid in to go to the bathroom and like, mm-hmm. you know, just like being super present and being good dudes. And then, you know, when I go to like, I'll take my kid to the trampoline park. And what do I see at the trampoline park? It's a bunch of dads jumping around with their kids, getting mm-hmm. sweaty and, you know, sitting there holding water bottles and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I go to our kids' youth sports stuff and I see a bunch of dads volunteering to coach and mm-hmm. trying really hard to hold it together when the kids are like scurrying everywhere like cats and, you know, dads like cheering from the side. Like I see good men everywhere and just so directly contradicts the narrative that I hear in the media of toxic masculinity and men suck. I think the shitty ones get so much attention mm-hmm. that it makes it seem like they're more prevalent than they are. And I hope that's the case. And I hope that like, I'm willing to be confronted or checked about this. If somebody's to say, yeah, Kyle, that's just because you happen to be in a protected pocket of the world or something you know, if somebody wanted to produce counterpoints, I'd be very open to hearing them. I'm just saying largely everywhere I go, I see good dudes being good.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know there's shitbags out there, so I'm not trying to say that there aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's the thing with any group of people about mm-hmm. anything, right? This group of people are bad groups of people. Well, one or two are bad groups of people.
Yeah.
Right? Not everybody. And so that's just life, man. I mean, like one thing that my dad had taught me when I was younger is that the world is filled of assholes. Right. And you have got to learn how to navigate around these types of people because sometimes you have to work with them or live next to them and all of this, like all that stuff. And if you can't, if you get offended by these types of people where you are forced to be in the same environment as them, your life will be hard.
Hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, I think that's a part of maturity mm-hmm. is seeing the world for what it is and not through your own wishes for what it would be.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Being realistic.
Well, any final thoughts on the quote unquote good guy?
Nope. That's not to say it won't come up again, but no, I think, I'm glad that we had a chance to talk about it. I did want to check on you and now we're changing gears again. I did want to check in with you about our accountability.
Yes.
So we decided last podcast, we kind of made a pact with each other to check in with each other, to hold each other accountable regarding our own health.
Yes.
And since then we've been, you know, we've crossed paths and we've been texting. How you doing, dude?
I'm doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. I would say that over the course of the week, my net sugar intake is down compared to what it was before we started having those conversations.
Yeah.
And I was doing, this is me and this is just an excuse, right? But I find myself going in phases uh-huh. where, dude, really good, really good. But last night I had a Hershey's bar and a graham cracker, right? And I probably ate more supper than I probably should have eaten. One of the kids made a burrito and then didn't eat it and it was going to get thrown in the trash.
Oh, I know that.
So what did I do? I ate it because for some reason in my dumbass head, I'm going, this is wasted money if I don't eat this.
I know.
Right. And so I ate it. Right. I also, these are all the bad things. I also have not gotten to the gym and done physical workouts as much as I was hoping to this week and this is where this is where the excuse comes in, right? I could tell you that I had to go coach four teams. I could tell you coach my two boys. I could tell you that I had to, my couple of these days were derailed due to kids getting sick and having to go to doctor's appointments and unexpected trips to unexpected places. But again, I have 20 minutes somewhere in my day to do some push-ups, sit-ups, or squats or things like that. And I made the decision not to do it. Right. So am I trending in an upward direction? Yes. But am I trending in that upward position at the rate that I think I should be? No.
Okay. Fair. Now, I appreciate the honesty. So if we're thinking about the goal is to get to the top of the mountain and we can't give up and sit in the middle of the path and have a pity party because we're not doing it like as fast as we think we should be, how do you want, what's going to be your goal for this week? What do you want to focus on this week that will make your journey a little bit better?
Yeah. So getting that shoulder injection is going to play a huge role in that. Mm-hmm. I was dealing with some pain that I just, like, if I go and try to do these upper body workouts and even doing a push-up is a struggle at a certain point. Yeah. And that cortisone shot is going to help me be able to do these things with less pain. And I think now I'm going to be able to like go, okay, less pain, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Okay. So you're anticipating this coming week, you'll be able to be more physically active and lift weights more.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I also think that I'm trending upward and I bet I'm more excited than you because my bar was lower than yours. Like I'm pulling out of like being in the worst shape of my life. I keep having these like physical injuries that keep happening, these physical health issues that prevent me from working out. And then I use food as like a coping mechanism. I eat when I'm bored. I eat when I'm stressed, all of these things, which again are my fault. Like none of that's an excuse. I've take full responsibility for all that, but I've gotten in the worst shape, the heaviest that I've ever been. Even if I'm not technically in the worst shape, but definitely the heaviest that I've ever been. And so to me, anything better than that is better. So since we've started holding each other accountable, there's only been one day that I had sweets. Mm-hmm. I had a neighbor in town, but before we decided to be accountable to each other, I had asked a neighbor in town to make me a rhubarb pie. Mm-hmm. And I love rhubarb pie and I basically never get it, but I had asked her, I was out on a walk and she was outside and, I asked her if she would do that. She's like, yeah, cool. Well, so then after we made our pact, she's like, oh, your pie's done. I was like, oh, crap. What do I do? Yeah. So I'll admit I made the decision to have a couple of pieces of pie. And then I gave the pie to the rest of my family and didn't, you know, like old Kyle would have definitely eaten that whole pie in a day. Or certainly it would have been gone by the end of day two. Yeah. So it was, you know, there was a day that I had sweets and that was it. But beyond that, I haven't at all. And that's good. Yeah. And then outside of that, I've gone for walks and jogs and stuff that I definitely wouldn't have done. And, you know, in the past week, my weight has gone down a tiny bit and I feel less like shit because I've had less sugar and I have less acid reflux because I've had less sugar and, and all of those good things. So to me, I'm starting to get a little momentum. You're not happy with your momentum, which I respect, but I'm like pumped that I'm getting any momentum because we're going from like the floor to like being off the floor for me. So I'm pumped. I like it.
What's really hard is those workout classes that we were doing that were extremely intense.
Oh yeah.
Those going from that to where we're at now is just not even, you can't even relate to it. Right.
Right.
And so I think I'm looking at that as the standard when I shouldn't be looking at that as the standard.
Right.
And maybe I need to get back into something like that to do that. And I don't know when that's going to be. I'm trying to juggle schedule right now. I'm trying to run, you know, multiple businesses right now. Excuse. I just have to, I'm that guy who is just a jumper where it's like, I just have to jump and do it and then jump and do it 2 days in a row. And then once I do that, then I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
what's your schedule like today? When are you going to be able to do something today?
After this, I have one more meeting, and then I have to do two podcast uploads. And then after that, it's gym, hopefully. And then I have to pick my kid up from school so I can take him to a pitching lesson. And then after that might be a hike.
Hey, all right, good.
So
gym, it sounds like gym and hike today.
Potentially. Yep.
All right. Good. Yeah. That's good. I'm definitely at least going to get a long walk in today. And my long walk, and maybe I'll even try and jog walk, but you know, we've got like a really good 3 mile loop in town that I just love, and it's got a huge hill on it. And I'm definitely going to get at least that in today. And that'll be way more than I usually do.
Hell yeah.
So that'll feel good. Yeah.
All right, brother. Well, good luck on everything.
Say what? Thank you. Keep texting me, man. Keep checking in.
Will do. All right, man. You have a good one, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right.
Until then, I don't know. Do we have a little out call?
Not yet an outro. No. You usually just say, hey, like, find us on whatever platform that you find podcasts on. And give us a 5-star review, because that helps us get seen. I think you say that. Leave a comment if there's anything you ever want us to know, or anything you ever want us to talk about, or any constructive criticism, or if you think Dan's voice sounds stupid, you can leave a comment. I think those are usually the things that you say.
Yep. All of that stuff. Have a good week. Enjoy your life. And we'll talk to you next time.
The world moves fast. Your workday, even faster. Pitching products, drafting reports, analyzing data. Microsoft 365 Copilot is your AI assistant for work. Built into Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and other Microsoft 365 apps you use. Helping you quickly write, analyze, create, and summarize. So you can cut through clutter and clear a path to your best work. Learn more at Microsoft.com/M365 Copilot.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.